To talk about the things that we have to go through a little bit this morning, but it's really interesting how Jesus he promised that he would give us abundant life, and yet so many people confuse that with the fact that they're not living in abundance. In other words, they're not living with the brand new Mercedes or the three-story house or something like that. So many of us don't have that, and yet we look to God and we say, well, wait a minute, you know, you promised us the abundant life. How come I'm not happy? How come I have to deal with these problems? How come my sister-in-law is sick? Or how come I have these bills, you know? And it just seems like I got these toils and these dangers coming up, and Satan's throwing up snares at me, and yet, Lord, you know, I'm not happy. What's going on here? And I'm just wanting to share a little bit about happiness this morning, that how Jesus didn't want us to depend on our things or even our circumstances or not even the state that we're living in as far as whether it's good or bad to determine whether we're happy or not. He gave us a few other things that dictate our happiness and dictate the happiness of a Christian that we need to be aware of. And we're going to look at those today. Let's pray together first. Father, I thank you for bringing us here, but Lord, I pray that you bring your Holy Spirit down upon this place. Father, we thank you for helping us worship you, and we thank you so much for the music that we've had, and now we're looking at your word today, and I pray that you just speak to these hearts in a unique and special way as we're open and receptive to you, Lord. Father, what a privilege it is that we can call ourselves your children. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody craves to be happy. Everybody craves happiness, don't they? I mean, that's pretty much a universal truth. You know, you never hear somebody saying, well, doggone, I just wish I wasn't so happy, you know. You never really hear that too much. I mean, everybody says it's something that everybody tries to, you know, get. And also, everybody benefits from being happy. I benefit a lot when my church is happy. I benefit when you're happy. I benefit when my wife is happy, let me tell you. Mama ain't happy, you know. But the truth is that we all crave it, but fewer and fewer are finding it today, and especially in the time that we live in. One poll says that one third of Americans surveyed said that they were happy. The other two-thirds said that they weren't happy. There's a poll called the Harris Poll Survey of American Happiness. The highest index they got was 35%. This means 2 out of 3 people in America today consider themselves unhappy. Some estimates say that clinical depression is 10 times more rampant now than it was a century ago. The World Health Organization forecasts that by the year 2020, depression will become the second leading cause of disease worldwide. Right now, the medications that are most prescribed by doctors are not antibiotics. But according to one source I saw, the most common prescribed drugs by doctors are antidepressants. So there's a problem going on here. And we're not just talking about non-Christians. We're talking about non-Christians and Christians alike. Christians deal with the problem of depression or deal with unhappiness and have to deal with not experiencing the joy in their life. For some reason, we're missing the mark here. For some reason, a lot of us are feeling like, well, this is just the way life is supposed to be. Or maybe we feel like God really isn't so much concerned about our happiness that much. As a matter of fact, we're not really supposed to, be so concerned about being happy as we're supposed to be concerned about the souls of others, or having a burden for our brother and sister, whether or not they come to know Jesus Christ. And maybe if I worked a little harder at that, or maybe if I volunteered a little more, or maybe if I gave a little more, then maybe things will come around. But the truth is that that's a little bit misguided. The truth is that God wants you to be happy. That's the good news. God is concerned. God is interested in your happiness. And that's the first point I want you to take home today. God is interested in your happiness. Matthew 5 verse 12 says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." Not just rejoice and be glad when you get to the church on Sunday morning and you get to meet Brother Don and you get to meet your Sunday school class and then, you know, go on and get back into your drudgery later on in the week. The Bible tells us to rejoice and be somewhat glad. Rejoice and be glad, you know, intermittently, you know. No, it says rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And many of us in the church, we're not doing that. The truth is, and the good news is that God is concerned. God is interested in your happiness. Scripture has more than 2,700 passages that contain words like joy, happiness, gladness, merriment, pleasure, celebration, cheer, laughter, delight, jubilation, blessing, exultation. Our joy level matters to God. And that's the good news. Now, I'm not talking about being naive or superficial happy talk. That's not what we're talking about this morning. Jesus spoke very candidly about sin and death and the needs of the human heart. But when he did those things, he spoke about those things with hope. And that hope is found in him. That hope is found in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, can I tell you that you might find happiness for a little while? You might find joy that might be there for a little bit, but it'll be fleeting. There's an old song that tells us happiness is the Lord. There's a whole lot of good theology in that song. But on the other hand, many Christians have the Lord, but we're not taking advantage of what God has provided us. Jesus talked about sin. He talked about death. He talked about the fact that the human heart had some needs, but he did it with hope. And we need to reaffirm our hope sometimes. Jesus brought joy to the first century Palestine, and he wants to bring joy to this generation right here. And here's how he does it. He's enlisted some special agents of happiness to do the job. Jesus has enlisted some special agents of happiness to do the job of bringing happiness to this generation. And you know who those special agents are, folks? It's you and it's me. It's you and me. It's his church. And here's something. Here's a little secret. I want to tell you the end of the sermon right now in case you fall asleep. Doing good does good for the doer. Doing good does good for the doer. And God is interested in your happiness. But here's one thing that happiness is not. And this is the second thing I want you to take home with you, is that there's a problem here that happiness is not entitlement. Happiness is not entitlement. There's a problem of entitlement that you need to be aware of. There's a problem of entitlement that kind of gets in the way of our happiness, but some of us equate entitlement with happiness. And those two don't sound like they would go together, but somehow in the society that we live in and the way things have gotten twisted around, or with Satan and his deception and his lies, he subtly made us think that, well, we're entitled to our happiness, aren't we? I mean, if I'm not happy, then it's got to be somebody's fault, right? I mean, they didn't give it to me, or they didn't treat me right, or something like that. After all, in the Bill of Rights of our nation, we have a right to be happy, don't we? I mean, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's our right to be happy. Well, actually, if you look at the Bill of Rights really closely, it says the pursuit of happiness. You know, it doesn't actually, the folks who put that together didn't say you have a right to be happy. You have the right to actually pursue that. You have the right to go after that. And it doesn't have anything to do with entitlement at all. Too many of us say, well, I'm entitled to my happiness, and it's something that I think that I got to believe that I should get. And the problem is when you feel like you're entitled to your happiness, you start looking for happiness in all the wrong places. And I'm going to give you two wrong places. There's two wrong places that you can look. The first one is your circumstances. You can't be looking at your circumstances for your happiness. And a lot of us do, and we fall into this, and it comes natural, but it's just intuitive to look at where we are and depend on our circumstances for our happiness. We're entitled to it because we think, if I'm entitled to more, then I'll be happy. If I get more, then I'll be happy. Or if I acquire more, or if I retire early, then I'll be happy. And we often think that these certain things can bring us happiness. And the truth is, it works for a little bit. It works for a season, but, you know, you buy a new car and you enjoy that new car smell for a little while, or you change your hair color and it looks really nice, you know, for a little bit. By the way, I think I need to make an appointment for my hair color, Patty, if we could do that. But here's the thing, it dissipates. It begins to fade away after a little while, and you have to recycle it, so then you go after the next thing. And this is called circumstantial happiness, and a happiness that only happens when your circumstances are different. And it's easy to get bitter or deeply sad when you start depending on your circumstances to make you happy. And you either get bitter at the world or because of the raw deal you've been given by your neighbor or something like that. And then you kind of get into the lie of Satan and start believing his lie that, well, maybe happiness was never intended to come my way. But I'm here to tell you that God has intended for you to be happy. He's interested in your happiness. The truth of the matter is, the happiness is there. You're just knocking at the wrong door. And here's the second thing, the second wrong place to look for happiness. And this is called instantaneous praise. Not just your circumstances, but too many of us rely on instantaneous praise to provide our happiness for us. And we all love pats on the back, don't we? I mean, we all love to be acknowledged a little bit, but listen, if your happiness depends on the approval of other people, if you depend on the approval of other people to be happy, then you got a problem. The Bible tells us again and again and again, live for Jesus, abide in Jesus, abide in Christ. It's not me, it's He who lives within me. Abide in Christ. And yet we're so busy trying to please our neighbor or trying to get this person to think a little bit better of us or to get the approval of this person or that person. And our generation's fascination with social media, that really astounds me, because I'm not really participating in it very much, so I could stand back as a spectator and look at things like Facebook and Twitter, and I know there's some other stuff out there like Instagram and things like that, where the generation coming up is really looking to this to get some form of happiness, it seems like. And it's kind of an addiction that takes place, because you get instant adulation, you get instant flattery, you get instant applause, and then you get addicted to that a little bit, and brings that instant gratification to a whole new level, okay? We're not talking about instant gratification where instead of it taking an hour to bake a potato, you now can put it in the microwave, you can have a baked potato in 5 minutes. You know, you younger people wouldn't know about that, but it used to be like, you want some potatoes? Well, you got an hour, we'll have some. We're so used to getting instant gratification, but now we're used to getting instant glorification. or instant praise. And when we don't get it, then we kind of we get back into it and spend so much time trying to dredge it up. And we measure our success in likes and in retweets and thumbs up and the friends, that so-called friends that we get on the internet, that our self-image just rises and it falls upon the whim of somebody's click or somebody's Facebook entry. Does it really make sense to hinge your joy on unpredictable reaction and reviews of people that you may not even know? It doesn't make sense. That's why whoever wrote that song, Happiness is the Lord, that's some good theology there. Jesus had a smile on his face when he gave the instructions in Luke chapter 14. Beginning with verse 8. If you got your Bibles, you could turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 8. He said, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you began with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. What Jesus is telling these folks in their culture, you know, that where you were seated kind of had a little bit of an indication of where you were in social hierarchy, you know, or where your social status was. And you might go into the dinner thinking that, well, I'm the most important person in the room, so I'm going to sit at the most important spot in the room. And Jesus is saying, don't assume that. Don't assume that pat on the back. Don't assume that adulation, or don't flatter yourself, basically, is what Jesus is saying. And I think he said this kind of with his tongue in his cheek, because he knew what human beings were like. I just wanted to just have you dwell on this for a minute. Happy are the unentitled. Happy are the unentitled, because we expecting applause and praise of others, that's just such a waste of life to live your life for that. Do yourself a favor and assume nothing, okay? If you go unnoticed, then you won't be surprised, but if you're noticed, then you can celebrate. You know, just assume nothing when you go into something, and don't assume that they're going to lift you up on their shoulders and carry you around the room. And then if they don't, then, you know, that's what you expected. But if they do, then that's a pretty nice surprise. And now that's what happiness is not. It's not necessarily the entitlement like a lot of us think, that I deserve this happiness to come my way because I'm such a great person. But I am going to tell you what it is. I'm going to give you one indication of one instruction that Jesus gives us and the Bible gives us about what it is. And you're not going to like it. I'm going to tell you this right now. Okay, so brace yourselves. Everybody brace? All right. The first thing that you need to know, if you want happiness in your life, if you want to live with the joy of Jesus in your life, and if you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, and he is living inside of you, and you're not experiencing his joy, this is what you need to do. But if you don't have Jesus, the first thing you need to do is you need to get him. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and have him reside in your heart, because that's where your strength comes from. And that joy of the Lord, that's going to be your strength. But anyway, the rest of y'all, if you have Jesus, if you consider yourself a Christian, the one thing you need to do, and you need to begin doing if you haven't done it, is you need to give your happiness away. You need to give it away. How does happiness come to us? Well, the words of Jesus are spot on in Acts 22, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to what? It is more blessed to what?
Give.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to give it away. All right, that is so true. Now, your neighbor just reminded you that in order for happiness to come your way, you have to be willing to pass it on. God wants us to be happy, and He's enlisted some special agents of happiness to do the job here on this earth. And the special agents are you and me. Doing good does good for the doer. Doing good does good for the doer. Most of y'all have already forgotten that we said that earlier in the sermon, but it is so true. But here's the thing, it's not an easy task, is it? It's a little bit hard to do. People in our world can be moody, they can be fickle, they can be stubborn, and that's just my wife's husband I'm talking about. I mean, happiness comes when we give it away, but because when you do, here's the thing, when you do it, it has a boomerang effect. It comes right back at you. I want you to think of happiness as like a boomerang. And if it wasn't, you know, what's that old joke that y'all told me the other day? You know, that one of the Jacobs brothers told me, you know, what do you call a boomerang that doesn't work? A stick. That's kind of like happiness, you know. If you don't give it away, if you're not sharing it with anybody, then you're really wasting it, you know. And here's the thing about happiness is that so much of our lives, we have happiness in our lives as a remembered emotion or a remembered state of mind. Oh, you remember when we did such and so? Man, that was a happy time. We were so joyful then. You remember that? And we don't take advantage of the moment that we're in and think about how we can actually, we're actually happy now. And the way to do that is while you are giving it away and experiencing that in the moment, giving it away. It has a boomerang effect. And this is such great news because, listen, you can't control your genetics, can you? No, you really can't. You can't. You aren't in charge of the weather. You're not in charge of the traffic or who's occupying the White House right now. But you can lighten the load or brighten the day of another human being. You can do that. And if we're going to find the joy that comes through giving it away, then here's the thing. If you're going to find that joy that comes from giving it away, you need to get a plan. You need some instruction, and that instruction comes from the Word of God. No wonder the Bible has so much to say about finding joy. Finding joy in the act of sharing it with someone else. The New Testament contains more than 50 one another statements. More than 50 one another statements. Okay, so this sermon is going to have 50 more points. Get ready. No. I've narrowed it down to 10. Okay, practical principles for making happiness happen. I condensed the list down to 10, but we're not going to speak about every one of them. Just for example, here's 10. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Bear with one another, Ephesians 4:2. Regard one another as more important, Philippians 2:4. Greet one another, Romans 16:6. Pray for one another, James 5:16. Serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Accept one another, Romans 15:7. Admonish one another, Colossians 3:16. Forgive one another, Ephesians 4:32. Love one another, 1 John 3:11. You know, we consider the Bible that it teaches and affirms that maybe, just maybe, we can consider the fact that doing good does good for the one who does it. Max Lucado, he writes a book, he's written a book, and it's called When Happiness Happens. When Happiness Happens. I love the title of that book because happiness does happen. And I want to encourage you to get a copy of it because he says some pretty good stuff in there. But he writes about two guys named Mo and Joe. And he speaks to this thing that we're talking about right here. He says, contrast the situation of Mo and Joe. Mo expects everyone to serve him. The moment he awakes, he thinks, is someone going to bring me coffee? He leaves the house thinking, the traffic better be good. If the service of the convenience store attendant is slow, Mo is sad. Mo is mad. If the parking lot attendant forgets Mo's name, Mo grumbles. If the employees at work need more time than Mo want to give them, then Mo lets them know about it. Mo has high expectations of the world. He expects to be served. He expects people to cater to his plans, meet his needs, and reward him. Consequently, Mo is seldom happy. The service is too slow, the commute takes too long, and the employees don't remember his name quickly enough. Mo, miserable Mo. Joe, on the other hand, Joe measures the success of his day with this standard. Who can I help today? Since there are always people who need help, Joe is insanely successful. He serves his wife her morning coffee. He serves the convenience store clerk with a smile. He serves the parking lot attendant with encouragement. He keeps a positive attitude at work. Bad weather, snarly traffic, no problem. The world doesn't exist to take care of him. He exists to take care of others. Circumstances do not affect him. Joe goes to bed with a smile on his face. Mo is unhappy, Mo, and makes people frown. Joe is happy and makes people smile. And then Max Lucado writes, which one are you? Ouch. Which one are you? Are you Mo or Joe, or a little bit of both? Mojo, I guess. Maybe it's time to look at life differently, isn't it? Make your happiness dependent. Making your happiness dependent on how others might serve you is going to leave you disappointed. If you find your happiness in serving someone else, though, well, I think you can complete that sentence. Let me give you one key to happiness. I know my time is just about up, but let me give you this key to happiness and one of them that the Bible speaks about. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, be patient, bearing with one another in love. You remember that old poem, love wasn't put in your heart to stay, love isn't love till you give it away. See, y'all know it. Paul said, be patient. You know, if you have the King James Version, that says long-suffering. The patient person still sees all the peculiarities of the world, but rather than react to them, the patient person bears with them, as the verse continues to say. If you look at all those one another statements, you're going to see that that's going to take a lot of patience there. There are many times that we enjoy one another. I mean, we love the times that we can delight in one another. There are times that we even relish one another. Yet there are occasions. There's some occasions where it takes a Herculean act of forbearance to put up with one another. You know, but Paul's word. His verb means exactly that, to tolerate, to endure, to forbear one another. And happiness is less an emotion. It's one thing you need to know. It's less an emotion than it is a decision. And it's a decision to bear with one another. Now, I got some homework for you this morning. I want you to work on this week. This is going to help you take your focus off yourself and put it on to others. And during the next week, I want you to celebrate. But I want you to celebrate anything good that happens to someone else. I really want you to do that. I want you to celebrate everything good that happens to someone else. And keep a list if you have to. Romans 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Flex that muscle a little bit. The instant you see something good happening to someone else, let out a holler or maybe a whoop or something like that. You know, just, you know, some mental confetti, throw it up in the air. And can you imagine what kind of fun you'll have when you experience and when you celebrate the joy of someone else or the good that happens to other people? Now, if you make a big deal out of yourself, you're going to, you know, if that's you making a big deal out of yourself, just brace yourself for a day of disappointments. But when you make a big deal out of others, then you're going to have a blue ribbon day. Because you're going to move from joy to joy, and you're going to regard other people's success as more important than your own. That's a tall order. And the scripture talks about it quite a bit. But once again, let me tell you, if you're trying to do that without Jesus, I don't mean to sound like a know-it-all, but you're going to fail. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. I think patience is in there somewhere. And those are fruits of the Spirit. And you're not going to get those unless you're abiding in Christ, unless you have Jesus. I'm not telling you that you come down here to the front, you shake my hand and accept Jesus into your heart, that all your problems are going to be solved and you're going to be happy every single for the rest of your life. That's not what I'm telling you, but I am telling you that He's going to give you the resource and He's going to give you the hope that you need and the ability to abide in Him. I'd rather abide in Jesus than abiding in my own circumstances or abiding in my own ability. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. True happiness is found in the Lord. Won't you accept?